This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Eli Manning, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Eli, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, November 22nd. It's 2021. It's the beginning of Thanksgiving week, and we've got a big week planned for you.
Oh
my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
First off, let me tell you, Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're all apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours, the other 20, your responsibility. And here's why it's a big week. Other shows leave you high and dry on Thanksgiving. And some of the games this Thanksgiving, kind of trashy. Yeah, no. If it wasn't Thanksgiving, you wouldn't even look.
Look at this garbage!
Exactly. But we've got a best of show on Thanksgiving. And then on Friday.
I looked at the best of show, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. These are I might listen. I'm going to be playing it during dinner.
Really?
That's how good the segments are. Reliving some of these moments that I saw in there. Our Billy Crystal interview? One of my favorite moments I've ever had on this show.
So while your parents are splashing in the bathtub, that new bathtub that you put in, you're going to have the radio on in there so they could hear.
Oh, this is so exciting.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's right.
And then Friday, I don't know why, Peter, but Don volunteered. He wants to do the show himself.
Yeah.
Come on. You know Don.
He saw an opening. He said, let's go. I want to do the show alone without these two albatross that I have with me.
No. It really, honestly, that's just a myth. Come on. Anybody would love a day off.
But
that game was originally scheduled, the Rangers and the Bruins,
right,
for 3:30.
Yes, it was.
With a 3 o'clock pre. So I was already committed to that I'm going to be on for that time anyway. And then because, and rightly so, why would ABC want to put the Chicago Blackhawks on? Not exactly a great look. Let's move Rangers and Bruins to 1 o'clock. So now there's a gap, 2 hours between the coverage of the Ranger game and the coverage of the Knick game later that night. So I said, listen, since I was already committed to work that time anyway and want to be able to keep the consistency of the Michael K. Show alive, and also it's my turn because Peter handled it last year, that this was the right thing to do.
Well, let's get the term turn out of it because I'm not doing it next year.
Well, then that, you know what? But that's not surprising because of all the things that you are, and you are a lot of things.
A lot of things.
Overwhelming majority positive.
Right.
Not a team guy.
Yeah, I'm not.
So
I'm
we're not surprised that you're not going to take your turn. So, Peter, next Thanksgiving, you're up, buddy.
I'll be ready.
Excuse me?
Another major performance. Don't you worry, Don. And you know what else you don't have to worry about?
What's that?
Guess what? I'm still.
I'm still number one.
Don, you said it the other day, right? If Michael wasn't ahead at the end of the weekend, he essentially never had the lead. And after a two-for-three performance yesterday in the picks, it's great to be back on top. Sorry, Kaster. Hope you enjoyed the few hours, though.
I'm glad that you brought that up because I didn't even bring this up to Don and Peter before the show, but here we go. I am not counting the three-point pick I made. I'm going to take four picks this week because I did not know that Lamar Jackson was going to have a bad stomach and not play. If he plays, they cover easily. So I'm not even I'm not even going to regard that as a pick. I'm just not. I'll take another three-pointer this week. New rules, I just made it up.
I do feel bad for you.
Oh, it was all. Like, it was our pick, too.
There's nothing that could be done about it. Because you make these picks on. And it could happen to anybody. That line moved, too. The line moved to one. And then you would have covered.
Right? Oh, that's true,
but you can't take the line with you. You make
the pick. No, you can't, Don.
So I genuinely feel bad. It could happen to anybody. I just don't know
too.
What you do about it. One thing you don't do about it is give you an extra pick on Wednesday.
Well, hey, listen, I don't count my picks either. I didn't know the Cowboys forgot how to play football, so that's not fair either. But the other side stories here that are interesting, first of all, a very rare win for DiPietro and Rothenberg. They now pulled to within
three.
Six. It's now 6-3 up on them. And also another story that's been lost throughout the weekend, a really rough week for Mr. Bruni.
Well, not really. He suffered the same fate as the Ravens that I did. The other pick that he had was good, the Bengals. He nailed that. He got all three winners. And then, the Ravens What was it? What was the third?
Yeah, the Chargers
he
also.
Had the Chargers too. Yeah, which was some game, by the
that,
way.
Oh, that was a tremendous.
That was
game.
Fun. That was even a- Al had fun. Like, you could tell Al Michaels had fun.
You think?
No, he had fun.
Who do you think he had in the game?
He probably didn't have the Chargers.
Yeah, I don't.
But he sounded like he was overjoyed to be there. And then, you know, it's probably a couple of minutes from his house or his mansion. But good stuff. Good stuff. So I am not counting that three-point pick. The second I heard that news, I said, that's it.
I texted
you guys. I said, that's it. My Ravens pick is done.
Now, Peter, should we have taken the high road, been tremendous angels, and allowed him to make another selection or change the points, considering he – I think that's what he was reaching out for. He texted us hoping that maybe we would give him
more love. I was just being honest. There was no way that was going to win. There was no way they could cover, although the quarterback played pretty well.
I mean, listen.
But, I'm a vindictive sort. I don't know if you guys know that about me.
So
once the Ravens weren't going to cover, I want them to lose.
Like, no, I get that.
You're not going to do this for me? Okay, then let the Bears win. Because
I love totally
Chicago.
Get that.
Yeah.
Man, that didn't happen.
By the way, who started yesterday for the Ravens? Who here knows? Off
Hundley,
top of the
Hundley, I think. Is that his name?
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
Wasn't
Tyler
Blow.
Huntley.
Huntley. There you go.
Tyler Huntley. Don, are you willing to fully jump into my hill of no matter what happens, Taylor Heineke's, as long as he can lift his arm up, we'll have a job in this league?
Yes.
It is.
I was with you when you said it. He's not a great quarterback, but, you know, if he's not going to kill you. He's all right.
Well, no, listen, Don, based on what we see from other quarterbacks, with what he did last week to beat the Bucs, and then yesterday he was 16-22, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, rating of 141, QBR of 92. If you're capable of that over the course of 12 games, doing that several times, even if it's not every week, you have a job forever.
Yes.
Because these guys, again, and props to Tyler Huntley. Apparently he was actually half decent. Certainly better than that disgraced Josh Rosen. I'm talking to some of the rabbis, some of the rabbinical community, to see if I can have him excommunicated from the Jewish community. That's
see,
how bad
time,
he was.
Last time you made a joke about this, the Yankees got a call from somebody that said that it was anti-Semitic what you did. You
Jabroni Pumpleduck.
All the time when you do this stuff.
Listen, I, as a very proud Jewish American, was very excited about the possibility of Josh Rosen becoming a star. Now that he clearly looks like a, what did I say his name was?
Jabroni Pumpleduck.
Once he became Jabroni Pumpleduck, he's out. Sure, he's a great guy, but I don't know.
You're taking him out of the religion because he didn't play well.
Well, I don't think I have that. I don't, like I said, I'm going to call some of the Rebbies, but I don't think I have that authority. So he's safe in that regard. But it is a wacky league, and I thought that I was going to have to deal with Cam Newton celebrating in my face yesterday, but alas, no. The Washington football team and Andrew's Philadelphia Eagles very much alive in the midst of the NFC.
Now, speaking of alive, speaking of alive, the Jets were not alive yesterday.
No.
And, you know, watching that Jet game, I wonder if you guys, and we'll talk to Robert Saleh hopefully about 3:30, but I wonder if you guys felt the same thing. If you're not going to win that game, what game are you going to win? If you're going to burn 2 timeouts in the third quarter and actually say that that's on the coaching, and then you say there are a lot of games that there are 90% of the games are lost rather than won, and this was one of the 90%. Okay, Flacco didn't play badly, didn't turn the ball over, but they lost. So you lost an opportunity to see what Mike White's more about. I'll be shocked if they start Flacco against the Texans. By the way, the Texans now are no longer a pushover after their win yesterday. So, I mean, are you going to find some reason that Zach Wilson can't play against the Texans? That's a game you got to win, guys. You got to win that game. You're at home.
Now, he didn't throw an interception, Michael, but he did turn the ball over because he did not pick up that corner blitz and cough the ball up in the red zone. So, I mean, the whole idea of him playing was he's supposed to be able to pick these things up, and, you know, this is a complicated defense to figure out. Well, the offense was just not great. You know, they got a touchdown off that turnover, gave him great field position to tie the game up at 7. But other than that, the defense, not great, although they made Tua look like, you know, he's a future Pro Bowler. You know, there was nothing there. That was nothing. That was air. yesterday. Because the whole idea was if Zach Wilson's playing in that game, all right, maybe we can learn something. It's a game under his belt. You know, for Flacco, Elijah Moore was good. I guess that something came from there.
He was great.
But overall, it's like, you know what? It didn't – anybody could have played quarterback yesterday, at least if it was somebody that had a future with this team. You could sink your teeth into it. But, you know, it was just another loss and not really much learned from that. We knew Moore was good, and I'm glad that he had a good game. He's had a good couple of games. But other than that, what did we learn? Just another game on the schedule, another loss.
Yeah, it's they don't play real discipline. They had the roughing the passer call when they held on third and whatever. And I got to tell you, the roughing the passer calls around the NFL, they're jokes. It's laughable. I mean, all he did was push him. He just pushed him. I mean, it's not like he like completely continued and speared him. He didn't do that. You see that all the time. They can't even be touched. I mean, just put a flag around their waist like my son does. You know, on flag football, don't even tackle them. They can't be touched.
Well, it's getting to that point.
It is getting to that point.
And I feel bad for defenders because they're trying to get there, right? And they make it seem like you could just stop. And even like the helmet to helmet, sometimes that's questionable because when you commit to make the contact, then the ball carrier can move his head down. Then it's helmet to helmet when that wasn't the intent. You know, you're trying to take the roughness out of football, and that's it's tough to do. But the quarterbacks I get because they're so expensive, and in a salary cap sport, you lose your quarterback, your season's probably over. But, yeah, Michael, put a flag on him. That's what it's going to get to is you can't tackle the quarterback. You got to grab a flag from his waist or have some sort of something goes off if you come within an inch of them that the play stops. Something ridiculous because, you know, this isn't football anymore, at least not the football we grew up with.
Yeah, it's a different sport, but there were a lot of interesting games yesterday. Another double-digit favorite loses. It's just amazing. The Titans have been playing so well, and they lose. And, you know, I guess you were the victim of that one, right, Don?
Yeah, I should learn my lesson that you just these teams that are a touchdown or more favorites just losing outright. But we're still looking for that team. Who the best team of football, please stand up. Is it Dallas? Well, they only scored 9 points. You know, is it Tennessee? Well, they just lost to Houston. They've got a loss to the Texans and the Jets on their schedule.
Holy crap.
That's what the Titans have.
How crazy is that?
You know, obviously, you know, can't be the Ravens anymore. The Browns are in, you know, free fall. They've got a quarterback that wants out of Cleveland. I'm sure you heard all that stuff already.
Who the hell are the Bills?
Yeah, the Bills, you know.
How about your first-place Patriots, huh?
Ryan Clark was on Greeny saying that they're too finesse. They've got no toughness. You can punch them in the face. So is it Indianapolis? But I'm not sure it's Indianapolis. Is it the Buccaneers? We'll find out what they can do tonight, but they've lost two in a row.
It's really crazy, though. Never more do I believe what this – let me – that was a terrible sentence. I have never more believed in what Steve Young says about not knowing these football teams until halfway through the year. You just – You have no idea. Guys, it was a Buffalo-Cleveland, you know, AFC championship game. It was already decided. That doesn't look like what we're trending towards at all.
And it works the other way, guys, too, to where don't believe the bad either. Because when it's all said and done, don't you feel like Kansas City's still going
to
be there?
Yes.
Their defense has come around. They're starting to score some points. That was a big – you know what that was?
A big loss for Peter.
That was a big time game, and ask yourself this: I'm not trying to get on the Cowboys because I do think they're a very good football team, but they haven't played in a lot of big games like that, and Kansas City has, and they just and I listen. Dallas is banged up. I get that, but there's injuries all over the league, and now Kansas City's rising to the top. Now, what's happened with New England? Right, very well coached team. They're starting to win some big games here. Now they're technically in first place in the East. So don't believe the negative and don't buy into the positive. Just try to keep yourself afloat. That's why tonight's Giant game is interesting, guys. They've been brutal for the first 9 games of the season, but they win tonight for some reason, and I don't think they will. They're all of a sudden finding themselves in the conversation. You got a healthy Saquon Barkley. They're as healthy as they've been. They've always been competitive against the Tom Brady. They only lost by 2 points against Tampa last year. So now you start winning games now and you keep your head afloat, you can completely change the narrative.
Which leads us to Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. And the game tonight that we'll all be looking at, it's the Giants in Tampa Bay. It's Monday Night Football. We also have a Manning cast today on ESPN2. So the game is on ESPN. The Manning cast on ESPN2, Bill Parcells, Kevin Hart.
That's a good – there's a couple good ones.
Condoleezza Rice. and Julian Edelman. So those are the four. And Don pointed out during our pre-show meeting, once again, no active player, which will lead you to believe that some players do believe that there is a curse.
Very, very interesting.
Some, if not all, the players.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm watching tonight. I'm watching tonight.
You're going to stay for the back half? I'm pretty good on Condoleezza and Edelman, I feel like.
No, I'm watching the game for sure. I definitely want to see Parcells. I find Parcells really interesting, and I just want to see if he calls Eli or Peyton Michael, because he called Don Michael for years.
That's a really great point.
I don't think it's he calls everybody Michael. He just didn't realize I existed.
I think he did.
Like, why would the update guy ask a question? So well, it's got to be Michael speaking.
It's also interesting, Don. I read the Q&A that Serby had in the post with Bob Papa. And, like, the first couple of years that Bob Papa, like, interviewed Parcells, he didn't even acknowledge him. It's like he didn't exist. I mean, it's all a proving ground. And then he finally called him Bob. And then, I'm sure if he did a couple more years with us, it would have been Don and Michael. And then he would have ignored Peter.
Think about how long it took for me to stop being And Them Boys to Stephen A. Smith. And now who knew all these years later I would then become And Them Boys to Greeny. Yeah. Forwards in some ways, backwards in others.
We also have a basketball game tonight. The Nets go to Cleveland. That game is on YES, so we're off the air on YES at 6:30, their pregame show. 7 o'clock is the tip-off. So the Nets against the Cavaliers, another tough loss for the Knicks last night against the Bulls. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. And I don't know if you realize this, Peter, but the Rangers continue to win. And Don at the mic yesterday for a thrilling, exhilarating, and I guess in hockey we don't have walk-offs, but this is pretty close to one.
This is as close to a buzzer beater as you can get in the NHL.
Here we go.
Gaudreau at the corner. Now Thompson just pins it up against the wall, but it squirts back out. Zibanejad finds Lindgren, who scores with 0.4 seconds to go.
There you go.
Wow.
Big call by Don.
Buffalo was trying to milk the clock, get to overtime, get their point, but then Fox digs it out, finds Zibanejad. Lindgren pinches because he didn't have to worry because there was not going to be enough time for Buffalo to counter. And you don't usually get walk-offs, but .4 and a face-off at center ice, game's over.
You might watch hockey your whole life waiting for a quote-unquote buzzer beater, and you might never see one. That's unreal.
And the Rangers, they don't play again. A bad outing by Georgiev again, and they got to be concerned about their backup goalie, where they actually brought in Shesterkin on a game that he didn't start, and they continue to win. So all of these things going wrong, they continue to win, Don.
Yeah.
And all the things going wrong for the Islanders, and they continue to lose. They even opened up their new building with a loss.
Yeah, 12 points in the first, 14 games. Now they've got COVID issues to deal with. You wonder if that game would have been postponed on Saturday had it not been the first game at UBS, because they had 6 players in COVID protocol, played the game, lost, then played the next night. They did get Beauvillier back. And they ended up getting shut out again 3-0. So last place. And the problem is they've dug themselves a hole, Michael. I can't say they're not going to make the playoffs or not make a run, but they're not winning this division now. And now they're going to probably find themselves that if they do make the playoffs, they're going to be probably playing teams that they probably thought they'd be playing in the conference final in the first round, because you can dig yourself a hole. So hopefully they get out of it. Rangers will be there Wednesday. I'll be doing the show from UBS Arena. Looking forward to that. But between all those games on the road, COVID, it's been a really tough year for the Islanders. I feel bad because Saturday was special. They finally got a building. The place looks amazing. But just the teams just has so many things that they've got to overcome here.
Can I ask you guys a Jets question real quick?
Sure.
Because, I was WWE Survivor Series was yesterday. I was at the arena all day. How many missed field goals were there in this game?
Well, a couple off the crossbar. Not off the crossbar, but the upright. So I think the Jets had two, right?
The Dolphins had
one.
But the miss was like a 55, and then he turns around and misses a 40.
Right.
Like the 55, he hit the upright, the high upright. It would have been good from 65. And then from 40, he misses. That's just a lot going
on. Now, speaking of, the Jets will have Robert Saleh on, hopefully next. Usually it's a little bit later, but we'll see. And I don't believe in station-on-station crime or network-on-network crime. I don't believe it. Never have, because I'm a team guy, despite what Don and Peter say. But I was sitting there, in my sweatpants and a sweatshirt, a Roots Canada sweatshirt for Don.
Beautiful.
And I was watching the ESPN NFL Countdown, which I watch every Sunday. And I almost fell out of my chair when Rex said he's all in on Robert Saleh now. I mean, as Don would say, check the hamstrings. You know, you're backpedaling pretty good. And I know I just I co-opted that that tremendous
nice backpedal. Hamstrings must be pretty strong after that.
It made Rex, I'm sorry, it kind of made Rex look strange. Like, now he thinks Robert Saleh's the best because he had a talk on the phone with Robert Saleh. So I guess that maybe you should have talked to Robert Saleh before you excoriated him?
Yeah, which just shows you how personal Rex was last Monday. That it really had nothing to do with wanting to kill Saleh's football. Saleh was in his crosshairs for whatever reason because of this whole comparison thing, which I still don't completely buy into. And it got away from him, and then I think he realized the error of his ways. But there's no way you can go from last Monday to what happened this weekend, where now all of a sudden you're all in telling Jet fans he's the right guy for the job. You may feel that way now, but it just shows you how wrong you were to start with.
Speaking of the Jets, Adam Schefter reporting rookie running back Michael Carter, who looks like he's a keeper, suffered a low-grade high ankle sprain that's expected to sideline him 2 to 3 weeks. Anyway, Rex was on, as he always is on Monday, with DiPietro and Rothenberg. And the guys asked him, well, what changed your relationship with Saleh?
The more I talked to him, the more I'm like, wow, this dude, number one, this is a smart guy. Like, if you don't think that he's disappointed in how his defense is performing, you're wrong. Of course he is. But he also has a big picture view of this is the issues that I'm having. You know, in my opinion, this issue's not going to be solved until the offseason. But he's got a vision for this team that I don't think any of us knew public-wise because it wasn't really shared. He doesn't share that vision or whatever with everybody, but I can assure you it's there. And when I talk to him, I'm like, damn, I hate to say this, but I guess I was wanting him to be a jerk, but he was the exact opposite, man. Like, he's a hell of a guy, and he's smart, and I think he's on the right track.
And I got to tell you, again, I don't like station on station, network on network. That's weak sauce, man. Don't you think you should have, like, talked to him before you killed him like that? So you killed him, you got it out there, and then you talked to him, you found out he's a great guy. It's a bad look, man.
But it's interesting.
And I give Saleh credit for even picking up the phone.
Yeah. To play pop psychologist, Michael, like when you listen to him say, I wanted him to be – why? Like, why? Just so it can back up and make you feel better about what you did last Monday? Like, it just showed you how the attack was just so wrong on Saleh. Again, not the critique of his football. He was dead on about a lot of the things he said about – what's happening with the Jets and that defense and the way that he's coached, but why did he take it so personal? And now you kind of feel like, all right, well, he realized the error of his ways, and now he's swinging the other way, where now it's like way like praising the guy.
Yeah, not a great look, but it is what it is.
I'm glad that they patched it up.
What do you mean you've been there?
You know, I've had issues with people, and maybe in the end you realize it was more personal than it was like anything else, you know, and you realize you run into the person, you go, you know what, they're a pretty good guy. Maybe I was giving them too hard a time on certain things. But in this case, it's a little different because he's a former coach analyzing someone who literally has his job, and he ripped the job he was doing to shreds. And now, with nothing having changed between the time he said it and when he spoke again,
now
and to say, no, he actually knows what he's doing. Nothing changed, though, except you spoke.
All right, we'll talk to Robert Saleh about all of that in just a moment. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Jet head coach joins us on Monday at this time every single week. So we will talk to him next right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, what a first hour. Out of the chute, ready to roll. Excited. Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save, also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. I'm flying high, everybody. Let's be honest. I really am. Because this is my favorite week of the year. Christmas, eh. New Year's, eh. Birthdays, eh. This is it. Thanksgiving is it.
You and I, we're in lockstep on this one.
Oh, every other holiday has some looming something. You know, do they like the gifts? Do you have to fake that you like the gifts? Birthday, wow. You're getting another year older. The whole deal. Somebody else's birthday, you got to get them a gift. This is a stress-free holiday other than the people who have to cook, but it's just wonderful.
Easter's a delight, too.
Nah.
I wouldn't know. But I've heard. But also, Don, for a lot of people, I feel it's not. Easter for a lot of people, as opposed to the fun meal at home with football, involves like going somewhere nice and sort of dressing up for Easter.
That's true.
But
if you keep it at home, it's every bit as good as Thanksgiving with a little ham, which I'm fine with. Throw a little ham in there. The turkey. Again, why couldn't there be a cow that wandered through the village with the pilgrims? Right? We'd all have a nice steak.
I don't mind turkey for one day. It's just the whole idea of Thanksgiving.
No, it's joyous because I love stuffing. I've never had
stuffing in my life.
Well, because you're something wrong with you. Though stuffing is amazing.
Never had cranberry sauce in my life.
I'm not a fan either.
But Peter is. I read.
Of course I am. And Don, no, don't say either. He's never tasted it. But yeah. Don, why don't you like cranberry sauce?
Just I don't like the texture. I just don't. I'm not a fan. But at least I've tried it.
Well,
I might have had it in my mouth by accident.
Excuse me?
Yeah, please.
Michael, well, can this be the year that you
tell
that
me
that you just try? Just do me a favor.
Okay.
When you're having the meal,
yeah,
put a little serving of stuffing on your plate.
But that's all carbs. I'm trying to avoid carbs.
It's Thanksgiving, man.
For God's sakes.
You're gonna eat mashed potatoes? No.
I don't know. I have to come to that conclusion at some
point. It's Thanksgiving, so. Think about this, Peter. It's like he's putting cigarettes out in his palm. It's his favorite holiday, and he's not going to enjoy it.
But, you know, food's not my favorite thing. It's my favorite holiday for what it's about, to be with family and just no stress.
Come on.
Really? The food's not that big of a deal.
But you're with family all the time.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Well, not for 2 years.
Oh, you love it because it's a great to just sit there, no stress, and just have somebody wait on you hand and foot. We're just serving.
Talk about your life. That's your life.
Are you throwing a turkey in the oven?
I wouldn't know how to cook a turkey.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. So wherever you go, whether it's to your sisters or whatever, you sit there, they serve you food. That's what you love about it. Stop with the whole family thing.
Well, that's what
that
I love about
Sunday.
It. So then I could go to a restaurant, and I'd love that day any day because they're serving you.
No, because then you got to pay. You love Thanksgiving because of the food. And now you're going to begrudge yourself a tremendous meal because of this Fugazi diet?
What
Everybody's
Fugazi?
Got a cheat day, and Thanksgiving is the ultimate cheat day.
Oh, boy.
What's the matter with him, Peter?
I might drop by Peter's house early just to see
you
Mike
should.
And Indy.
It's going to be a hell of a spread.
Really?
I got the Popeyes turkey.
You did?
This is so exciting.
Mission accomplished. It's actually, I started the defrosting process today. So it's in the fridge defrosting. There's going to be stuffing, which we purchased, not homemade. There's going to be homemade mashed potatoes.
Do you like lumps in the mashed potatoes or just smooth?
I like a little bit of lump.
I don't like lumps.
Well, it's a lump of potatoes, so if you like potato, what would be the issue?
That's the thing. That's how I feel about it, Don.
Then that's a ridiculous statement, Don. One of the most ridiculous you've ever made because there are different sorts of potatoes. There's French fries. There's roasted. There's baked. I mean, a potato's not a potato.
Thank you, Slim Blade. We know, but.
Got your French fried potatoes.
I'm like French fried potatoes. Some call the Slim Blade. Some call the Kaiser Blade.
You could also go full Bubba Gump. Shrimp and start listing off the different kinds of shrimp you can make too.
Some French fried potatoes.
It's a mashed potato. So if there's a little bit of chunk, it's a chunk of potato.
Right.
But I know what it is. If it was a chunk of something else, I mean, then you might projectile vomit. You want smooth mashed potatoes.
I'm trying to find the menu.
So you want smooth mashed potatoes to expose.
I don't even know the boy.
So you want smooth mashed potatoes.
Was that Sling Blade or Freddie Kitchens?
Yeah, that was a combination.
I think it was Kiki. Oh, it was Orgeron. That was Orgeron.
Oh, okay.
So you want a smooth mashed potato as opposed to operator.
Yeah.
to expose like anything that might have dropped into it while making it?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm assuming if there's a lump, it's going to be a lump of potato, not like
you really you can't swear on a lump. You don't know what it's going to be.
You can't swear on a lump. Natalie,
it's sage advice.
Natalie sent me a menu the other day.
A menu of what?
For this week. Let's see. For Thanksgiving. Originally she had a charcuterie board, veggie dip, really? Pigs in a blanket, chips and salsa. First course, salad, spinach goat cheese salad with roasted chickpeas, red onion, sunflower seeds, and balsamic glaze. Vegetable soup, a main course of turkey and stuffed peppers, she said. I don't know if we're still doing that. Mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, garlic string beans, honey glazed Brussels sprouts. My mom's making like this corn stuffing deal. Roasted carrots.
Don't go.
I know.
What? You don't even know what's in it. Blah.
It's my mom's.
I know corn's in it. I don't like corn.
Dude, my mom's making like a sweet kind of corn casserole.
Does she make it like?
He's laughing at his
like
own
Kramer does, you know, in the shower.
Really?
You know, the water from the shower hitting them, is that how she
is
does
that,
it?
Is that really what you're just going to only see? So the only thing you'll now talk about with my parents is
them
bath.
In the bath, yeah.
Because
you've sold them out to, as part of your, you know, you making money on bath fitter.
Fruit salad. My mom's making mini pecan pies. I don't know if she makes them in the bathtub.
This is so exciting.
Haagen-Dazs ice cream. It's going to be just a delightful.
It's
going to
be unbelievable. Now, we have two full meals. That's the beautiful thing of it. My sister makes lasagna.
This is wild, I know.
And not only that, she has to make two separate lasagnas. She makes lasagna for the normal people, which is lasagna with the sausage in it. And I've never had sausage in my life. So then she makes lasagna for me and the kids. And then after you sit down, watch some of the game, you know, open up a button on the pants, and then you come back for the full turkey meal.
So she makes a separate lasagna for you because you won't eat sausage?
Yes.
Sausage is wonderful as well.
No, I don't like it.
Have you eaten it?
Yep.
I don't believe you.
No, you haven't.
I have.
Unless someone has religious reasons, there's really...
I religiously do not like sausage.
There's no reason to not like a piece of sausage. Sausage, really? If you will.
All right, so let's talk about tonight, though, rather than Thursday.
Please.
It's the Giants against the Bucks. 1 point for Don on the pick segment. And boy, if he wins this one, it's tight. It's going to be tight. I'm a point behind Peter, and then Don will be a point and a half behind me, and it's going to be a Donnybrook or a LeGrecobrook the rest of the way.
Yeah.
But he's got, what do you have, 11 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 11. There's a segment of the population that thinks the Bucks are going to just blow out the Giants. And then there's a segment of populations that think if the Giants are really serious about this and about making a run, because their schedule after this is, I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's easier than it's been, they could really make some hay if they go to 4-6. So are they catching the Buccaneers at the right time, having lost two in a row? Or are they catching the Buccaneers on the wrong time? Tom Brady's 18-8. Lifetime on Monday Night Football. He likes the bright lights, likes the spotlight, but he has not played well against the Giants under the bright lights and the spotlight. So what's going to happen tonight? I don't know.
Well, everything points to a Giant loss because your starting quarterback, Daniel Jones, 0-7 in primetime games. The Giants have lost 9 straight in primetime. So this is not exactly a spot where you feel good. Tom Brady hasn't lost 3 straight since going back to the 0-2 season with the Patriots. And for the Giants to win, that would be 3 straight for Brady and the Buccaneers. But forget all that. The Giants have an opportunity here in a very wide-open league to put themselves right back into the conversation for the playoffs with the Eagles and the Dolphins coming up. Now, the Eagles have played very well, another reason why the Giants need to step it up here. And as you said, you've got games against, you know, Chicago late in the season. The fact is they are right now within striking distance of the Saints for that last playoff spot, a team that they own the tiebreaker against. So it's living week to week, right, Peter? Survive in advance. Win a game and be in part of the conversation for week 12. And they're healthy. Saquon Barkley is back. It looks like they're going to have their full complement of players for the first time since the Saints game. They've had an obnoxious amount of time off with the bye and the extra day because of Monday night. Go out there and show that this is the right coach, this is the right team, and keep yourself alive. I know it's tough, 11-point dog on the road against the defending Super Bowl champions, but making the playoffs is tough. You have an opportunity here to stay alive. Look what the Eagles have been able to do. Eagles have kept themselves alive.
I don't get the
Giants do the same tonight.
I don't get the Eagles. Andrew, are the Eagles surprising you?
Well, they've completely changed their offense. For the first 7 weeks of the season, they refused to run the ball, and then kind of a light went off. I don't know if players went to talk to the coaching staff or what, but now, like yesterday, the Saints were the number one running defense, rush defense in football. The Eagles ran for 250 yards against them. No one can stop them on the ground right now, so they've completely changed their identity in the last few weeks.
I mean, they got it from Sanders, Howard, and Jalen Hurts all ran the ball effectively yesterday.
You think Jalen Hurts the answer, Andrew?
So, I don't know, but at this point, where it stands right now with the Eagles, I would not draft a quarterback. They're going to have three picks in the top 15 or so. I wouldn't use any of them on a quarterback. He's shown me enough, at least, where I want to see more for another season. He's been very good lately.
Well, if you're not going to take one, well, listen, it's not a great year for quarterbacks, right? But if you're not going to take a pick with three in the first 15, I guess you are happy at quarterback. That's
right,
the answer.
Yeah, right now. But I mean, there's still, you know, if he's terrible to end the season, then it's not a lock. He hasn't done a ton to make me say, yeah, that's it, I'm sold. And he hasn't done a ton the other way to make me say, no, he ain't it. Like, it's kind of up in the air, but I'm trending heavily towards he's good, and let's go with him certainly for next year, because like you said, it's not an amazing quarterback class, and the team has responded to him, and he's probably, after Lamar Jackson, the second best running quarterback in the league, and he's okay through the air, good enough. So I'm pleased with him right now.
I'm just imagining the Philly text chain must have been fired up yesterday.
Oh,
huh?
My God. I mean, the last 4 weeks, really, but yeah, yesterday was it was flying.
So it looks like they've got a quarterback. They're running the football. They're winning games. Go to Denver, beat the Broncos, you know, beat the Saints. Like, I think not many people were surprised, maybe as handily as they did. But, you know, the Giants are in a spot, Michael, where you get blown out. Okay, you know, we're moving on. We're kind of ready to move on anyway. They'll make a lot of changes. You know, lose a game in which they've got a chance to win like they did last year, shoot yourself in the foot like they've done basically for the last 5 or 6 years, well, then you're done. But maybe, just maybe, this team could put something together and go out there and win a game. 11 points sounds like a lot, but did that stop the Texans, a 10-point dog, be able to go and win against Tennessee?
The problem is, routinely,
we've seen teams, Peter, that are favored by double digits lose games outright. The Buccaneers, forget about the history and Tom Brady and all that. They've lost two in a row. They've looked very ordinary. They lost coming out of a bye, which Tom Brady never does when he was in New England. That never happened. So
I just think all of that works against you,
but
not for you.
All right, then you know what? Then they're not good enough. Let's blow it up and let's move on. But maybe you show us something here and you keep your season alive for a week.
Michael, tell me what you think. I think this is a very tough spot, because if this was a game against a mediocre team, you could say, hey, show us that you deserve to have a season. But they could play really well and still lose by a touchdown tonight.
Yep.
That could happen.
I disagree with Don. No matter what happens tonight, you don't make your decision to break it up, because following this, there are games against teams of equal levels of talent. I mean, the Bucs are the Super Bowl champions. They're getting Gronkowski back tonight. So, I mean, they're getting closer to being a complete team. But after this, then you've got the Eagles and then Miami. The Chargers had a big win against the Chargers, against the Steelers. Then you got the Cowboys. Then you have the Eagles again. I mean, there are winnable games there.
Yeah, they're winnable games if you're a team that fancies itself to play a playoff team. Well, if you fancy yourself as a playoff team, you shouldn't be intimidated by the Buccaneers. All these teams have great wins. Did we think that Philadelphia was going to go to Denver and beat the Broncos? They did. You know, there's games you got to win. Last year, this team with a backup quarterback went to Seattle and beat the Seahawks. So at some point, you have to have a win on your resume where you go, hey, you know what? I guess you're a pretty good football team. So you think you're a pretty good football team, well, then go out there and at least play competitively. Now, if they go out and play great and Brady beats them on a last-second touchdown drive, then we can evaluate that. But if they lose because of a bunch of penalties late, a rough in the passer that gives them an automatic first down when they could have gotten off the field, or a Daniel Jones fumble as they're driving for the game-winning score, then we're playing the same song and dance over and over again.
I got some numbers, though, Don. The Bucs, well, not just the Bucs, Brady is 0-for-11 versus the spread in his past 11 primetime games, not including a Super Bowl.
Wow.
And the Giants are 20-6 as a road underdog in their last 26 games. So you got that going for you, which is nice. You feel confident today, Don? I mean, will you double down on your one-pointer by making a money bet?
Well, that's not my betting style. My betting style would be a bet on the Buccaneers. So I either gain ground on you or make money. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to touch it. But I do feel good because of all the things that you just said. That stat, they played each other last year, and the Giants lost by two. You look at the history of Tom Brady versus the Giants. Now, different players and all that, but only one blowout, and that was a couple of years ago when they lost by 19 points. Otherwise, they've always been able to keep these games competitive. And listen, you think that Joe Douglas is a good coach, and I think he is too. But
not Joe Douglas, Joe Judge.
Joe Judge is a good coach, and I think so too. But you know, listen, the record speaks for itself. You've had all this time in the world to prepare for a Tampa team that's been struggling. Go out there and play competitive football. Michael, if they get their doors blown off, then what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we trying to save here? You're healthy. You've had time to prepare.
Well, they still don't have Shepard. They still haven't had all their weapons in one game.
I know, but you got Saquon back.
We don't know what Saquon's going to be. You think Saquon's going to be a big factor in this game? He has to be, but you think he is going to be.
At some point, you know, can you do it? He's playing. What does Derek Jeter say? You play. Go out there and play and see if you can do something. Galladay's healthy. Go out and get something going here. I'm kind of just calling them out in the sense that they talk and feel like they're close, and they just haven't gotten the breaks. They got the bad call in the Washington game, this game, that game. All right, well, now you're getting healthier. Go out and play a really good football game and beat a good team, and then we can start talking about what you are. Why do we got to apologize for them, Michael? Why do we got to talk about the Giants like this, you know, like this non-factor, if they believe that there's something, then go out and show me something. This isn't an impossible game.
No,
forget
I agree.
About what
they
Vegas
can, they
says.
Can win this
it's
game.
Not an impossible game. This sport, forget about it. It's almost like an albatross around your neck when you're favored by double digits in this league.
I think the spread's a little generous. I really do. I agree with you. The spread. If I was making the spread, I would make it 11. The Buccaneers have not shown that much, and the Giants have been in games. 11's a lot. Zofton. Yeah.
No, it's a big number, and this league is just a mishmash. Nobody seems to be able to step up and say they're the best. You know, we're seeing teams that were a mess, you know, start to win games and look good. So why can't the Giants be one of those teams and try to keep their season alive? Because here's the other problem, Michael. Even if you think some of the games are winnable down the stretch, 3-7, you know, to only win 3 of your first 10 games. And you know what? I don't know how easy that Philadelphia game is. Philadelphia's playing great football. Chargers are a tough team. Washington is certainly no pushover right now. They might be battling for a playoff spot in Week 17 when they're playing each other. You know, you can make a case that they can lose a lot of those games too. So they got to try to keep, you know, staying alive. And at 4-6 in this league with the extra wild card spot, you're alive. 3-7, I'm not sure.
One other injury, Bucks get back Sean Murphy Bunting, their cornerback. He's been out with an elbow injury since the first game, so that's a big addition for them. And as I mentioned, Gronk, who's missed 5 games with a back injury, he's had a lot of problems. He's had cracked ribs. He's had a punctured lung, missed 3 games, came back the next game. He played in about 8 plays and then had back spasms and been out since then. That's a big weapon for Brady. That's a real security blanket, so he has him. So it should be an interesting game. It's on ESPN tonight, and also the Manning cast is on ESPN.
I can only – you know what I say? I only watch football games if I can be hearing from Condoleezza Rice at the same time.
You're a big Condi fan.
Yeah, so that's where I'm – well, particularly with regard to my football, although I know she is a football lady.
Brian Costello just tweeted out, the Jets are 3-point road underdogs against the Texans on Sunday. The Jets have not been a favorite since week 4 of the 2020 season.
Well, Houston's playing pretty well. It's on the road. And who's quarterback in the Jets?
I think it's going to be Zachy.
You know what? I don't know.
Well,
yeah,
if he's
I don't
healthy,
know either, Aaron. I'm just saying, I think it's Zach.
If he's healthy, then he's got to play. Unless they found religion and realize, you know what, this kid shouldn't have played at all this year anyway. Let Flacco play the rest of the year. Let the kid watch.
No. Well, that would be a –
I agree. I agree.
But you tell me any other reason why, if he's healthy, he's not playing against the Texans.
Well, I don't think they'll ever say he's healthy. If he doesn't play against the Texans and they just don't want to play him, then they'll say he's still not 100%.
But you're a big optics guy. They didn't put the guy on IR, and yet he's going to miss all these games?
No, it's an awful look.
He's supposed to be out 2 to 4 weeks, and in a week four he doesn't play, and then what, they're just going to keep saying he's injured and then not put him on injured reserve? I'm surprised
Peter didn't ask that question.
It's kind of a journalist I am.
Yeah. All right, let's take a brief timeout. We'll hear from you. We talk Jets, Giants. Now you talk with us, 1-800-919-3776. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
You know, I want to remind you that 98.7 ESPN is giving away up to $2,000 every week this football season with the Pigskin Payout. Your faith in Gangrene and Big Blue is your ticket to cash in, so get your bets ready. Be listening in the 5 p.m. hour today for your chance to win. We're raising the stakes with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael K. Show, only on 98.7 ESPN. It's your home for football. Well, let's take some phone calls. We've been doing a lot of talking. That's not right. Let's let you talk a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Go to Rob in Cranford. Rob.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Big fan of the show. First time, long time.
Thank you, Rob. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good.
So, as of right now, the Jets have two top five draft picks. Do you think that the Jamal Adams trade will go down as one of the worst trades in history? What's your prediction on that?
Certainly in the conversation, because, Rob, Seattle got nothing out of it. Seattle is going to be dreadful. And they signed into a big money deal, and they gave up a first-round draft pick. It's mind-boggling how bad that's turned out. And it's turned out great for the Jets because the Jets are going to be bad with or without Jamal Adams. So it turned out to be a good deal. Great deal.
Well, John Schneider made the deal because he felt like they had a Super Bowl team last year. Didn't work out. No. Now they feel like because they traded the first-round pick, they've got to keep Adams, so they give him the contract, which compounds it. So – hey, I don't know if it's the greatest deal for the Jets because we'll see what those picks turn out to be.
But as far as Seattle's concerned, to trade away a first-round pick for a player that didn't help you even win a playoff game, and then you had to give him a contract, and then that team completely falls into the abyss. I don't know when they're going to be good again, guys. Pete Carroll's now getting called on the carpet. You know, they get Russell Wilson back. It hasn't mattered. He's not getting any younger, and he's probably going to want out of Dodge at the end of this season.
Oh, yeah, he's going
to
ask out.
You know, they're going to be in, you know, full rebuild mode, and they give a contract to a guy that they thought they were going to be competitive with. So we'll see whether how the Jets take advantage of it. My God, was that a poor move by Seattle.
Let's go to Brian in Passaic. Brian.
Hello.
Hello, Brian.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I love your show, and big Yankee and Giant fan, as well as Ranger fan. I had a question about this upcoming draft, and as of now, the Giants sit at 6 and 7 in the draft order. If they finish the season with 2 picks in the top 10, would you keep Joe Judge? And what do you think is the best course of action to take with those 2 picks?
Well, I mean, we've got to see exactly what they're going to do with all of their players if they're committed to Daniel Jones. I've told you this before. I'd keep Joe Judge. I'd bring in a compatible GM. I don't think I'd let Gettleman make those picks. Do you realize that this draft, if the season ended today, which it won't, the Jets and the Giants have 4 of the first 7 picks?
That's crazy, right?
Unbelievable.
Now, we'll see if a quarterback emerges. But I would think that if one did, the Giants could package those picks to move up to get a quarterback. Because, if they're on their way to another 4 or 5 win season, I mean, how do you give Daniel Jones that fifth year?
But are they on the way to a 4 or 5 win season because of Daniel Jones? That's what you have to ask.
Well, you can't say he helped it. Now, listen, am I blaming him for the fact that they're 3 and 6? No. Could he play better? Sure. But if they end up finishing 5 and 12, it's hard to just apologize away the quarterback play. You draft quarterbacks here in a quarterback league to help you go out there and win games. And are you going to see enough to say, all right, I'm going to give him that fifth-year option. He's my quarterback moving forward. Are you going to start planning an exit strategy?
It all depends on you bring in a new GM. Is a new GM compatible with Judge, or you bring in a new coach? You can't make any of those decisions until you know who's in the leadership mode.
I know, but the last thing I want to do, it's bad enough that I'm going to have to bring in a general manager, according to you, that's going to have to keep Joe Judge. But now do I want to bring in a general manager that's going to want to keep Judge and Jones? Who the heck wants that job? I can't change the quarterback or the coach. Oh, that's a yummy job to grab.
Yeah.
Let's go to our good friend, Ira in Staten Island. Ira.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, how are you? And
good.
Happy Thanksgiving to all three of you.
You too.
Same to you.
It's amazing. I walked out of that stadium yesterday, and of course I was frustrated with the loss because I guaranteed them to beat the Dolphins. But I look at it and I said to myself, wow, with 2 minutes to go, I'm still in the game. And I forgot what that felt like. So you want to say they made a little progress, even with a loss. But, I mean, I liked Elijah Moore. I like Michael Carter. Unfortunately, that hurt. But at the end of the day, when the reality sets in, it's week after week, it's the same mistakes, whether it's coaching, whether it's the players making stupid penalties, missed field goals, drop balls, missed tackles. And to me, it's disappointing because this year I know it wasn't about the wins. It was all about developing the young players. And while I did mention two of them, you know, the big question is what's going to be with Wilson? And I heard what you said earlier. Should he play this week? Absolutely. The thing that scares me is during Salah's press conference yesterday, one of the words he said is, we don't know where Zach is mentally. And if this kid is not ready to step on the field because whether it's confidence or he doesn't have a grasp of this offense, that is scary. That's the scariest part. So hopefully he's on the field this week. But you know what? If they don't have Michael Carter, I think he's going to have a rough time in Houston.
No, I think, Ira, because he said something like this last week too, I think he's getting a little bit misunderstood. When he says mentally, I don't think he doesn't think mentally that he can't play. I think it's where is he mentally in terms of the faith that he has in his knee? Does he have the mental faith and confidence that he could cut and do what he has to do? That's I think mentally he's fine.
Yeah, I don't think he's saying he's seeing ghosts.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what it is, Peter.
No, me neither. I think you're right.
Although it's not a catastrophic injury. It's not like he's coming back from, you know, an ACL or an MCL or something like that. You know, it's an injury that didn't even get him on the IR. I would think he can overcome that mentally. What I'm wondering is they didn't want a veteran quarterback. They were good. Wilson was going to play. But now did they look at, all right, we're deep into the season now. Did they change their mind and feel like, well, now because of this injury, maybe we should just do what we should have done in the beginning and let him watch a veteran play for a while and then come back fresh next year?
See, but I think that's a total wrong. The next seven games have to be about this kid. What quarterback is sitting now?
I agree. I 100% agree with you. They committed to this. Let him play. If this season's going to mean anything, these last seven games are going to mean anything, it's let's find out what this kid has. Get it all out of his system. Learn, and that way he's ready to go to be competitive week one in 2022. But has Saleh ever said that Wilson is our guy? When he's healthy, he's ready. It just always seems to be some kind of, well, we're going to wait and see how he feels mentally. There doesn't seem to be a full-blown commitment of our plan is to get him right back on the field as soon as he's ready. It was White, then it's Flacco. I want to see some kind of commitment. And if he doesn't play against Houston, Michael, I really think it's open possibly that if they plan on playing him again. I know Houston's coming off a big win, Michael, but it's still one of the lousy teams in the league.
They will always hide behind the fact of health. I mean, there's no way they're going to say they're not playing him because, you know, they just want him to watch. They're always going to say it's health. And that's their get-out-of-jail-free card on this.
I know. But that also looks bad because they never put him on IR. They've been playing shorthanded now. If he doesn't play next week, will be for a month. It went from a 2 to 4 week injury to now it's going to be the full four and then maybe beyond that. So then they screwed that up. They could have been playing with an extra guy on their roster if they did that.
One quick thing about the Giants, Andrew Thomas has been activated. So obviously he's made strides this year, but he's been hurt a lot. So we'll see how he plays. That gives Daniel Jones a little extra protection. 1-800-919-3776. We go to Wilson in Roxbury. Wilson.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Same to you.
Hey, Michael, listen, I don't know why you like Joe Judge so much. To me, he's the worst head coach in the NFL. The Giants won three games despite of him, and he cost the Giants two games. He cost the Giants the Washington game and the Kansas City game because he plays not to lose. I'm going to tell you something, because Giants fans think like me. The Giants have a great opportunity, man, to be one game back of a playoff spot in November, which is it's unbelievable because we've been a disgrace for 5 years. If he plays not to lose again, right, and they lose by 3 points again, if John Mara has any competence in him, he won't let this guy back in the building tomorrow, man. Because we second tire.
Give me an instance, Wilson. You're saying he plays not to lose. Give me an instance of when he's done that.
Okay. All right. Against Washington, James Bradbury intercepted the ball with 2 minutes to go. Instead of going for the throw, he plays for a field goal and they lose by 1 point. Against Kansas City, you punt the ball back to Patrick Mahomes at the 50-yard line. What do you think that Patrick Mahomes? What do you think that the defense kind of stopped him?
A lot of teams have stopped him, and also with the Washington, should the defense have allowed them to get the field goal to win? And also, they're one offsides away from. I mean, you're going to blame it on Joe Judge. They're one offsides away from winning that game because the field goal was missed. It's harder to score a touchdown than it is a field goal. Got himself in the field goal position, got the field goal, took the lead. You're going to blame that on him? Right,
but Michael, I'm not going to go as far as to say he should be fired, not let in the building tomorrow if they lose to a team that they're an 11-point underdog against. That's ridiculous. And he's not the worst coach in the league, believe me, not even close. However, in that Washington game, we said at the time, Bradbury with the pick to the 20-yard line, and they played for the field goal. That was playing not to lose. That was a mistake by him. Yes, defense gave up the score.
No, it was playing to win. He's trying to win. He wasn't playing not to lose. Nah, so even if he scored a touchdown, you don't think that Washington would have come back and scored a touchdown?
Well, but that again, you just said it. It's a lot harder to score a touchdown than it is a field goal. And in this league, when you leave that much time on the clock for a team to kick a field goal to win the game, more times than not, they're going to find a way to do it. But at the 20-yard line after a pick, he runs Barkley twice, and then, you know, tries to throw on third down incomplete, which compounds the problem, leaving Washington even more time and a timeout to just be able to get in the field goal range. They should have been aggressive and tried to gone for the touchdown. So I agree with the caller from that point. There have been times he's way too conservative, but not enough to say that he's the worst coach in the league. But I would be up for possibly replacing him, Michael. If they go another, if this is a 4-5 win season, why am I bending over backwards to keep a coach that's won 11 games in 2 years?
All right, so then it will be you banged what? Four coaches in 7 years.
Right. So to be stubborn and because not of mistakes to be stubborn. That were made in the past, who's, I'm going to keep.
Who are the people that are hiring a new coach? The same guys that hired the last failures. Four coaches in 7 years. At some point, it has to stop.
Yeah, but I never understand that logic. Of course, it's the same people. That you can't avoid that. But that means the result. You never just give up. Stop hiring.
But the things they're looking for, Peter, obviously in a coach, are not the right things. If you think right. that Joe Judge is not right, because you got rid of Coughlin when maybe you shouldn't have. You got rid of McAdoo. You got rid of Shermer, and now you're going to get rid of Judge. None of them got a third year. Obviously, Coughlin got a lot of years and gave them two Super Bowls. But that's four coaches in 7 years. At some point, it's on the owners.
No, I get that. And that's why I think it's incumbent that if they do make changes, they don't go the same old, you know, blue guard of let's get somebody back here that has a ties to the organization that thinks the way we do.
How do you think that's going to play out, Don? They are who they are.
Well, then I don't know what to say then. But I think that's what you have to do. And then if you get somebody that's going to think outside the box, the last thing I want to do is hire that guy and say, you've got to keep my head coach. I've got to bring in somebody that's going to change the way that they've been doing football and allow that guy to build the team in his image. And if he wants Joe Judge gone, then I guess Joe Judge is gone. Again, I'm not calling for his head. Let's see how it plays out these next, you know, eight games. But the point is that how many losses do you have before you say we don't have the right guy?
I don't know if it's 2 years. I understand what you're saying, but I don't know if it's 2 years. I mean, sometimes it takes a long time to implement what you want to do and get the right people in here. 2 years? This guy Wilson made the decision after what? 16 games, and what's their record now? 3-6? 16 games and 9 games. So 25 games, he's the worst coach in football. Come on, man.
No, he's not
fair?
The worst coach in football.
And again, is it going to be fair after 33 games to fire him?
I in this version of the NFL, Michael, I think 2 years is it's kind of what you get.
The one thing I disagree with you, Peter, this is the one sport that is not a microwave sport. You do have to implement what you have to implement.
No, but Peter's right, Michael. It's one thing like 2 years, but if we're talking about a 4-5 win season, you got worse in your second year when they spent all that money in the offseason. It's one thing if it's 2 years and you went from 5-11 to 7-10. All right, you improved. You gained. You were a better team. You could see the team was better. If they end up taking a couple of steps backwards, then why do I have to give him a third year?
And I mean,
but you know, Don, when you bring in a new football, we got a break. But when you bring in a new football coach, you're changing everything up again. Everything. So Daniel Jones is going to have his third coach in 4 years. It's not healthy. That's not workable. That doesn't work. Then Daniel Jones is out too. If Joe Judge is out, then Daniel Jones has to go. You could have the third coach for a young quarterback, the third offensive system.
I know we got to go. We'll continue this, but if it doesn't work out this year, if things continue, the answer to me is Gettleman. It's not rushing to Judge. Now, I stand by what I said that 2 years in this league is kind of where people make judgments. But the reality is, guys. If Daniel Jones, if we don't absolutely know that Daniel Jones is the man at the end of this season, tell me exactly what Gettleman's gotten right.
Let's take a brief timeout. We'll come back. Well, we jigger this 1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greca, Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this portion of the Mike and Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by the Pepe Auto Group. Visit Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Let's get some phone calls. Let's go to Matt in Toms River. Matt.
Yo, what's going on, fellas? How are we
Matty,
doing tonight?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I just got a question for you, Michael. Big, huge game, right? Turning point for the Giants, maybe. Is this game in the nude tonight?
Are you know what?
That's
what?
It's a great question,
Matt. I don't believe it falls under the in the nude at the start of the game category. I mean, if the Giants are rolling at the end, maybe you do it. Maybe you peel off some layers as the game goes on. But I don't put the 11-point underdogs, Don. I can't get that excited early. I can't.
Now, you don't get nude. You don't get nude for 11-point dogs.
No, you almost need to pick them.
But
pick them?
Forget Vegas. Vegas has had an awful year.
Pick them.
Vegas should be.
I bet you they've won some money. Just saying.
Well, whatever. I mean, I'm sure they always win. At the end of the day, they win. But as far as their spreads have been a mess this year, because what we say about them is gospel, right? Well, Vegas always gets it right. So we look at this 11-point spread and say, well, the Giants don't stand a chance. I think the Giants have a chance in this game. Tampa's not playing well. You've even admitted that 11. It seems very generous. The Giants find a way to hang in games. The Giants' MO has been they find a way to lose games.
Now, when you're talking about liking them in some ways, Don, do you mean cover or win?
Well, I like them to cover. But the problem with the win is it's the same old Giants, right? They'll find a way, like they did against Kansas City, like they did against Washington, like to hang in the game and find some way to let it slip through their fingers. They've been doing it for years. So am I going to bet them to win the game? No, the way I think it's going to go is we're going to go on the air tomorrow and talk about how if this happened, if that happened, if that didn't happen, the Giants would have won the game.
See, but here's where I want to call out Don a little bit. You know, he's always blaming Vegas, right? So in Don's world, Peter, Joe Namath is not that big a deal. Vegas just got it wrong. Joe Namath did defy the odds to win Super Bowl III. They got it wrong. They got the spread wrong.
Do I talk to a wall? I have built an entire opinion on how Vegas got that completely wrong. You can make the case the Jets could have been favored in that game. The reason Vegas got it wrong is because they look like everybody else did. The AFL's a joke. They don't know what they're doing. They're an upstart league. Nobody can play with the NFL. The NFL's vastly superior based on two Packer wins against the Raiders and the Chiefs. They had no common opponent. There was nothing to base it on. They threw that entire two-touchdown favorite on the fact that they disrespected the AFL. Vegas got it completely wrong.
So anytime that you defy the spread, Vegas got it wrong rather than the team overachieved.
Not always, but when you see week after week in the NFL where teams are double-digit dogs and win the game outright, it's not once in a while. It's been happening routinely. There has been at least a half a dozen teams the last 2 weeks that have been a touchdown or more dog that outright won the game. If that happens, then Vegas got it wrong. I got my pick wrong. I'll admit that, but when it's that off, Vegas is supposed to be within 3 points either way. So when there's a 10-point dog and they lose the game outright, or a 10-point favorite and they lose the game outright, that's not three either way. That's getting it completely wrong.
Your thoughts,
Vegas
Peter.
Has had a tough year.
I think in some cases Don is right. You know, like the argument he's making for the Super Bowl, that's a reasonable argument in my opinion. However, when you do have to be mindful of not always saying they get it wrong, because Michael's right. Sometimes it's right, and the team overachieved. And that team was special. I think tonight is an interesting case. I think this is a fair line because of the fact that Tom Brady's lost three in a row exactly once in his career. And the fact that it's two in a row right now coming out of a bye, this to me just, he will die trying to win this game. He's getting Gronkowski back. I think this is a fair line, and I really think the Giants could put up a great fight tonight. You feel pretty good about how they play, and they still lose. But, Don, as time goes on, I don't hate your pick as much to cover. I hate them to win, though.
All right, we will talk to the man who you have to watch on ESPN to break down this game before, and that is the great Steve Young.
Still, he's good.
Still undefeated as the number one ranked guest, although Jeff Passan doesn't like to hear that, and I love Passan. But he has not surpassed Young this year. Young's been that good.
He's really killed it the entire time.
Really killed it. And he does it in such a leisurely way, too. Yeah. It's not like he's trying too hard, bro. The Hall of Famer Steve Young joins us in just a moment. That's right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, here's your shot to qualify for the Week 12 Pigskin Payout. It's your chance to play in the 98.7 Sportsbook and win up to $1,000 for correctly picking the Jets and Houston Texans game. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to qualify. We'll be selecting our winners this Wednesday. So keep it locked into DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael K. Show for your Pigskin Payout. Very quickly about the Yanks, and please give us a call right now. A lot of football to talk about. Big Monday night game, Giants and the Bucks, 1-800-919-3776. Joel Sherman in the Post today wrote a story that the Yankees might not be in on the high-priced free agent shortstops, that the market is not where they think it should be, and they have a lot of faith that Volpe's going to be a big-time shortstop, the kid they drafted from Jersey who had a great year this year. And he's probably a year away. He's not ready for 2022, but after that, so why lock into a shortstop that you'd have to give a 7 or 8 year deal? Now, I spoke to a baseball guy I respect today and said, if you're the Yankees and you could pick any of the shortstops available, who would it be? And he surprised me. He said it would be Marcus Semien. And I said, why Marcus Semien? And he said, reliable, answers the bell, plays every single day, can play second, showed he could play second. So after you start him at shortstop this year, where he's shown he could play shortstop as well, when it's time for Volpe or Peraza to come up, you bring them up and you can move him anywhere. So I thought that was interesting as well. But do the Yankees want to get into a Seager, who is probably a $30 million a year player? Do they want to get into a Correa, a $30 million a year player, long-term contract? Because if you do that, you've got to seriously question whether or not they would ever be able to bring in another $30 million a year player by signing Aaron Judge. Those are questions that have to be asked. Because you can say, well, the Yankees should have all the money. Yeah, the Yankees have a lot of money, but everybody has their limits where they're not going to bring in guys that are going to age together that you're not going to be able to move. So you've already got Stanton, a long-term contract that takes him to 37. Judge is 30 now. You give him a 7-year contract, that takes him to 37. And how is he going to age at 6'7", 282 pounds? You've got Gerrit Cole, who makes $36 million a year, and he's going to be with you until he's 38 years old on a 9-year contract. Then if you bring in Semien, let's say you get him to take a 5-year deal. It might take a 6-year deal to get him. Then he's there till 37. You can't keep aging like that altogether because then your team is stuck.
Okay.
It's not even about the money. Your team is just stuck.
All right, so what changes other than Olsen and bring him in to play first base, Michael? What would be the big splash? Because we feel like they need to do something with this roster. What else would they do if they're not going to go out and
they'll bring in a shortstop. Well, it could be an Andrelton Simmons. It could be somebody like that.
Which is more glove than bat.
Yeah, he's a very good glove. He's not a great bat.
Right.
They're going to do something. Obviously, they're going to do something, but they probably want to improve their pitching too. So there's a lot of places they need to deal with. Center field, looks like a lot of teams are in on Starling Marte. Are the Yankees in on him? Who's going to be the shortstop? Who's going to play third base? Where's DJ LeMahieu going to play? Are you going to bring back Rizzo? Are you going to keep Voit? Are you going to actually make a trade for Olsen? All decent questions. So a lot of stuff up in the air. 1-800-919-3776. Jack in Phoenix. Jack.
Hey, Michael. How you doing? Hello, guys. I haven't called in a while because I've been kind of just sitting back and mulling this. And your conversation before about, well, if Danny Jones doesn't do this, we're going to get rid of Gettleman, we're going to get rid of the Judge. And I think that fails to see the ultimate problem Giants had is that for 10 years, they ruined the last 7 years at UI. They're starting to ruin Danny Jones' career by not adequately addressing the offensive line. They have yet to develop an offensive line. It's been 10 years. Every other team, the Cowboys have redone their last offensive line twice in that period. The 49ers have redone their offensive line in that period. How many times have they started a drive this year with a running play that ended up in negative yardage because they can't block to save their lives? And I don't care how great a quarterback is, if you're putting behind that type of mediocre offensive line on a consistent basis, they're not going to perform. They perform sometimes, but not always. And
it's hard to disagree with you.
Yeah.
It looks like Andrew Thomas might be the answer at one of the spots. He looked very good this year. Last year he didn't look that great. But it's a process. And Jason Garrett spoke about it last week about how they built the Cowboys' offensive line. That's where they used all their draft picks, and that became a strength. And then when Ezekiel Elliott comes along, they have a great offensive line, and they could protect for Dak as well. Remember when they hired Dave Gettleman, the Hog Mollies, that's all he cared about was the offensive line. They've had a lot of swings and misses. Solder was a swing and miss. Will Hernandez is a player that answers the bell all the time. But, Don, is he really the answer? He hasn't been great.
And before that, Jerry Reese drafted Pugh. He drafted Flowers. Nothing seemed to work. They've addressed this offensive line with two different general managers and a lot of high draft picks, some first-round picks. And they haven't seemed to get it right. Now, Thomas, maybe if he could stay healthy, will turn out to work out. Maybe Will Hernandez in his third year next year might begin to mature and get better. But it's not like they haven't addressed it, Michael. And it's been two different general managers that have swung a miss with a lot of picks and a lot of money in free agency.
Well, it's all according to the way you give the definition of address. They've tried to fix it. They just haven't. I mean, they want to fix it. They've just swung and missed.
And that's
I mean,
problem.
Giving Nate Solder that contract, and then Nate Solder, you know, opted out last year, which we understand. But even when he played the year before that, he was not good.
Right. So I guess you'd rather hear that they ignored it and now need to pay more attention to it than that they've focused on it for the last, like, half a dozen years and still not being able to get it to be any better. But at the same time, you know, I've seen quarterbacks excel in this league with average offensive line. So we can't just always blame every bad quarterback play in the offensive line doing a bad job. Sometimes
but they have not had an average offensive line. It hasn't even been average.
I know, but there have been times, we saw it with Eli, and we certainly see it with Daniel Jones, that there are yards to be had. You heard Steve Young talk about it. And the quarterback, whether it's Eli, whether it's Daniel Jones, not taking advantage of the moments that you have. You can't always work with a clean pocket. Not every play is going to give you time. That doesn't mean that it always has to go for a loss or an interception or an incomplete pass.
Let's go to Jeff in Irvington. Jeff.
Hey, Mike, Don, Peter. Thanks for taking my call. How are you guys?
Jeff. You got it.
What's up? So I just wanted to – well, so I wanted to talk about the Jets, unfortunately.
All right.
So in the words of Rick DiPietro, I'm slightly emotionally broken today, but better than past weeks. You know, defense looked all right yesterday.
Can I stop you 1 second, Jeff? Because, Jeff, 1 second, I'll let you finish your point. I keep hearing that and reading that. The defense looked better. The Dolphins are awful. So what if the defense looked better?
Well, I mean, it definitely wasn't good by no means. You know, I'm a diehard Jets fan, and obviously I was disappointed. But I guess, you know, they looked like they competed. They looked like they fought. You know, they tried and they showed up. So obviously it wasn't good. You know, would have liked to come out with a W, but they looked like they played a little bit better. So, I don't know, take the with a grain of salt, but I'm trying to stay positive, I guess, on this note.
Well, no, I didn't mean to jump you on the defense part, but I kept hearing about, well, the defense looked better. Don, you had a quarterback that lost his job and only got back because of injury. I mean, it better look better against the Dolphins, right? Well, it better look better.
Compared to what it was the last 4 weeks, Michael, it was much, much better.
But they played an awful team.
No, I get it. The bar is very low. The bar isn't low. The bar is laying on the ground.
There's no bar.
You're giving up 400 yards a game, giving up 40-plus points a game. So, yeah, they were competitive. They stayed in the game. But that first drive, awful, right down the field. You know, but they did get an interception, changed field position, tied the game. Yeah, they looked okay. They kind of looked a little bit like they did early in the season, but it's still not great. And you're right. This Dolphin team, if they're going to win games, it's going to be on corner blitzes and interceptions and all that. It's not going to be on going out there and scoring a ton of points. It still needs to improve.
All right, we've got a big ENN coming up. Sure. And on the TV side, it's only until 6:30 because the Nets pregame shows at 6:30 on YES. And then 7 o'clock, Nets and the Cavaliers. So Peter's got a lot of stuff to get in. There's so much stuff to – I don't know if we've covered it all. We haven't even talked about the fight.
We did
Lakers.
There's no Lakers-Pistons fight. There's no Porter-Crawford fight.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger news. That's a lot to get to.
A lot to get to. Let's get to it in just a moment right here on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.